Well, to Isaiah 58, we're going to be looking there, and then we're going to Exodus 20, and then Matthew 12. A well-spent Sabbath. We feel to be a day of heaven upon earth. We love to rise early on that morning and to sit up late that we may have a long day with God. Those words of Robert Murray McShane emphasize how the Christian should look forward to the Sabbath as the most wonderful day in the week. Last week we saw how the Puritans pictured the Sabbath as the market day of the soul, which spoke of it as being a tremendously enriching and enjoyable day, a day to meet with people and, more importantly, to meet with God, a day in which you're spiritually equipped and refreshed for the week ahead. Last week we considered 4 points about the Sabbath. First of all, it is a day to remember. We noted that the Sabbath was already in existence before the law was given to Moses, and it was therefore not a temporary measure like the rest of the ceremonial law. Keeping the Sabbath day is for all time, from the beginning of creation until the end of the world. Secondly, we saw it as a day that is holy. It is a day which is to be set aside not for our own use, but for the private and public worship of the Lord. It is the Lord's day. It's not our day. It's his day. A day when we focus on Christ. Thirdly, it is a day of rest. And in order to concentrate on the Lord, we stop from our normal weekly work and recreations. We stop our normal work and pleasures in order to engage in the greatest work and the greatest pleasure of all, which is the worship of God. And then fourthly, we considered that it is a day that asks questions. Our attitude to the Sabbath day will tell us a lot about our attitude to Christ. We can measure how much we delight in Jesus by seeing how much we delight in keeping the Sabbath day as God intends. So a day to remember, a day that is holy, a day of rest, a day that asks questions of us. But as we move on today, the first thing I want us to note is that it is a day of blessing. Isaiah 58 and verse 13, we read this. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And here in these verses, the Lord promises wonderful blessing to his people if we keep the Sabbath day properly. Three things are mentioned here by way of blessing. First of all, joy in the Lord. Beginning of verse 14, he says, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Isaiah 58 speaks of cold, formal religion. The people are going through the motions of worship, but they just feel as if it's not real. They feel as if God isn't near. They feel as if God's not answering their prayers. Now, part of their problem was due to the fact that they went to worship and appeared nice, but in their lives there was little love and concern for others. But another problem why their worship was like this was their failure to keep the Sabbath in a proper way. But here we see this wonderful promise. If they keep the Sabbath properly, they will know joy in the Lord. Or as the King James puts it, delight in the Lord. This word translated as joy or delight comes from a word meaning soft, as in a soft, luxurious, comfortable couch. And the picture here is basking in the Lord's presence in an experience of wonderful bliss. And this is what the Sabbath offers, this joy, this delight, this bliss in the Lord. Tell me, have you joy in the Lord? I'm not asking you, do you have joy in coming to church? I'm not asking you, do you have joy in singing praise or listening to sermons? I'm not asking, do you have joy in serving in the life of the church? Do you have joy in the Lord? Do you have real joy in knowing Christ and being in his company and his presence? You see, if we properly keep the Sabbath day, our joy in the Lord will grow. That is what God promises here. We will love Christ more if we keep the Sabbath day properly. Secondly, what is promised here is spiritual victory. Read verse 14 again. Then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land. Now that phrase, to ride on the heights of the land, it's used in Deuteronomy chapter 32, which is a great song of Moses. Moses is singing praise to the Lord for delivering Israel from Egypt and bringing them to the promised land. And this riding on the heights of the land speaks of great spiritual victory. And for us, it now means being in Christ more than conquerors, knowing spiritual victory. Do you find that in your life, sin, temptation, the devil, and the world have far too strong a hold on you? Do you find that you lack the power to live the Christian life as you desire? Well, one of the ways in which you will receive spiritual victory and power in your life to overcome that which is evil is a correct use of the Sabbath day. God promises spiritual victory when we keep the Sabbath day properly. And the third blessing here in verse 14, I've entitled it Covenant Enrichment. The end of verse 14 we read, and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Now that's strange language for us. To feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. What does it mean? Well, for the Israelites, it meant to enjoy the reality of all the benefits that had been promised to them or covenanted to them through their forefathers. And this particularly included the blessing of the promised land, enjoying a life of richness in this land. Now, how does this apply for us today? What is the inheritance of the promised land that we are to feast on today? This is something wonderful. The answer is heaven. Heaven itself. We experience something of heaven and earth, as McShane said, as we keep the Sabbath in a right manner. As we observe the Sabbath day as God intends, something of heaven enters our soul. Something of heaven enters our families. Something of heaven enters our church. This happens because as we worship, as we engage with God's word, as we pray, we're communing or we're engaging with heaven itself. What an amazing experience. We need something of heaven in our heart. And we can experience something of heaven now if we keep the Sabbath day. And so the Sabbath blessing promised here is joy in the Lord. It's knowing spiritual victory. It is having a taste of heaven. And how do we receive these things? Verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words. By keeping the Sabbath, we will know these blessings. So it is a day of blessing. But secondly, it is a day to prepare for. The fourth commandment says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now the word labor here contains the meaning of working really hard and working until we're weary. And the idea is people work with all of their strength for 6 days with the aim of being on the Sabbath day, having this rest in the Lord. There are 6 days to get everything done, everything prepared, so that in the Sabbath we can give ourselves absolutely over to the Lord. In Exodus 16, when the children of Israel were receiving that manna from heaven, on the sixth day they collected double what they needed in order to have some for the Sabbath. The manna didn't come down on the Sabbath day. The sixth day, the day before the Sabbath, was a day to get ready. And in Jesus' time, the day before the Sabbath was actually called the day of preparation. And we need to think of our Saturdays like that again. There are many different ways we need to prepare for the Lord's Day. We need to get all our work out of the way. That includes if you're a student, your homework, your studying out of the way. Shopping has to be bought. Food, as far as possible, needs to be prepared. The potatoes peeled. If you're going to use your car, make sure there's plenty of fuel in it. The housework needs to be done. The fire, if it's going to be used, cleaned out and set. The clothes need to be washed and ironed. The shoes polished. I'm sure many can have the experience. I can remember my grandfather on the Saturday night would shout, calling all shoes. It was a day of preparation. And we need to go back to those things. All these practical preparations are to be done so the Sabbath can be as great a delight as possible. That there's nothing to distract us, that we can give ourselves totally to the Lord. Then we need to prepare ourselves spiritually. Saturday night or Sunday morning, spending time reading God's word and praying so we're ready for the Sabbath. Saturday night is a night when we need to have plenty of sleep. Young people, the angels in heaven can stay up all night and still be sharp to worship the Lord. You and me, we can't. We need our sleep. We need plenty of sleep to be ready for the Sabbath day. One of the reasons why people will not give the time needed in order to prepare for the Sabbath day is that they're taken up with the pleasure of the world and they don't find their greatest pleasure in the Lord, and they're not convinced that their greatest joy will be found in using the Sabbath as God intends. But God promised us the greatest joy known when we give ourselves to Him on the Sabbath day. My first experience of Ballymena was back in 1993. I was part of a project evangelism team which were doing outreach in the Ballykeel and Harryville areas. And one of the things the team were doing was a coffee bar in Wakehurst behind the bowling alley in a warehouse there. And Project Evangelism had a wonderful way of doing coffee bar work. They had divided the whole team into four smaller teams. There was a serving team. And every night in the coffee bar, the serving team would give out the tea and the coffee and look after all those practical arrangements. There was a witnessing team whose job was to get round the tables and talk to the people about Jesus Christ when they came in. And then there was a fishing team who were out in the street giving out invitations. Poor people from South Carolina, when they met people in Ken's car park, they couldn't understand what they're talking about. But that was a fishing thing going out. And then there was the prayer team, which spent the whole evening, apart from a few breaks, maybe for tea or coffee or time of praise, but they spent the whole evening from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock in prayer. And I remember the first time I went on the team and this thought of spending 3 hours in prayer. Oh, it felt horrendous. But I found it to be the most wonderful night of the whole outreach. When Sheriff and I led outreach teams for the Presbyterian Church, we ran coffee bars in the same format. And when young people came and you told them they were going to spend one of their 4 nights praying, you could see the look of horror on their face. A whole night praying? Time and time again, the young people would come back and say, the most wonderful night of the outreach was the night spent praying. Do we really believe that our greatest joy will be in the Lord? If we do, we'll prepare. We'll work hard for the Sabbath day. A day of blessing, a day to prepare for. Thirdly, it is a day to promote. In Exodus chapter 20, let me read the commandment again, part of it. In verse 9, it says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. The Sabbath day isn't just a day that we are to keep. It's a day in which we are to encourage others to keep properly as well. It's a day we are to promote. Who are we to promote it to? Well, we are to promote it to our children, this commandment says. It mentions our sons and daughters not to work on this day. We are to teach and encourage our children to keep the Sabbath day. How can we make the most of this day if we have young families? Well, we must teach our children the importance of keeping the Sabbath day. As well as teaching them, we need to be an example to our children about keeping the Sabbath day. This applies not only to parents, but to all members of the church. It also applies particularly to organization leaders and helpers, Sunday school teachers, those of us who are elders. We certainly do not want to be setting a bad example to our children by going into restaurants, going into shops, doing unnecessary work on the Sabbath day. parents need to bring their children to Sunday school and worship. At Sunday dinner, why not talk to your children and ask your children, well, what did you learn in Sunday school today? What did you learn in children's church? Or ask them, well, can you remember what the children's address was about? Or if they were in this for the sermon, what the sermon was about? Ask them what the main points are. Ask them how they should respond to it. Maybe even take some time, and if there's a particular Bible passage that was used, read over the passage with your children again. Ask them questions about it. You see, many, many parents do not spend time talking to their children about spiritual matters. This is a way you can begin it. And that should then be a springboard for family worship on the Lord's Day. As a family, spending time singing praise, reading God's word, discussing a passage of scripture together, praying together as a family. The Bible emphasizes the importance of parents teaching their children. Parents, it's your primary responsibility to teach your children, not the church's, it's yours. And there's no better day to be involved in this than on the Lord's Day. You can do quizzes with them on what is taught. Teach them memory verses, and with a bit of effort and imagination, and there's ideas and little sheet out there, you can make it not only good and profitable, but also great fun for them. You can teach them their Sunday school lessons for the next week and the Sabbath day. Don't leave it to a Saturday night. Teach it on a Sunday, and then during the week, come back to them on it. Promote the reading of good Christian books with your family on a Sunday. Get in the habit of reading a good book out loud with your family, something like Pilgrim's Progress. Read it together out loud, bit by bit, over the weeks. Also encourage a time for private reading, with each member of the family going and having a different book to sit quietly reading a book that is relevant to their age. Other things we can do, which can be Christian videos on the Lord's Day, Bible board games, Bible versions of things like Pictionary, Charades, Taboo. And you also can engage your children and in their playtime. On the Lord's Day, parents, don't ignore your children when they go to play. Be involved in your playtime. Dr. Joseph Piper, on his big book on the Sabbath, he talks about how, with his children, how he used their playtime to teach them about God. He had a little boy who had a little set in which he built a log cabin. And so on a Sunday, he would build this little log cabin with his boy, and it'd have the wee figures around it, and the log cabin became the missionary station. And that little one figure who was a teacher, and the wee boy got the teacher to teach the other little figures a memory verse. Even in his play, he was using it. And Dr. Pipe also talks about how, as a family, they would have a dressing-up box in which they would act out some of the Old Testament stories, working it out together. Children need to expend energy on the Sabbath day, so engage in their playtime and direct their playtime in this way. Take them for a walk in order to help prepare them and for ourselves to be fresh for a good use of the rest of the day. You see, with a bit of effort, we can make the Sabbath day for our children the highlight of the week. If we prepare for it, if we cherish it. So it's a day to promote to our children. It's a day to promote to those who serve us. Notice how it mentioned in this that our manservants and maidservants are not to work. Now, there'll not be too many of us who have people who are employed by us. And we might say, well, that doesn't apply to us. Well, technically, we mightn't have servants, but surely this commandment refers to anyone who serves us. We should give them the privilege of the Sabbath day. This part of the commandment has far-reaching consequences. This is why we shouldn't go into shops or places of public entertainment or go out for meals on the Lord's Day or travel unnecessary on public transport, because we're causing others to work for us. We should promote it to others that we don't cause others to work on the Sabbath day. Oh, some will argue, well, they're working anyway. But they're not your servants until they're serving you. Don't have people serve you unnecessarily on the Lord's day. So promote it to our children. Promote it to those who serve us. Promote it to those who we meet, whether it be at church or whether it be when we go out for a walk or visit someone's house or they come into us. Promote the Lord's day with our conversation. Yes, we'll make conversation with people and we'll talk to them about their work. We'll have concern for them and how they're getting on for the work. But we'll try as far as possible to move things onto spiritual matters. How do you do that? Maybe you're not used to talking spiritual matters. How do you start it? Let me give you a wee hint. Share with people about the sermon. Share with those who come to visit you what the sermon was about, some point that particularly encouraged you or challenged you. Or share with them a story that was shared. Or share with them the children's address. Then ask them if they went to a different church, well, what the sermon was about. What did they sort of glean from the sermon? We should be praying that the Lord will help us as much as possible to get things onto a spiritual level. Do you notice what it says there in Isaiah 58 and the end of verse 13? Not using idle words. That's how we keep the Sabbath day. Aren't we a long way off it in our lives? But this is what God calls us to do. Encourages us to not talk to people about work and football and shopping all the time. You see, we can be people who don't work and don't go to a football match and don't go shopping, don't watch TV, and still not be keeping the Sabbath properly if all we talk about is worldly things. It's a day that is wonderful. What I pray is that all of us will get excited about this day, and we love to promote it in our families, to our friends, to all that we meet on the Lord's Day. But fourthly, it is a day for works of necessity and mercy. Turn here to Matthew chapter 12. Do you realize that Jesus taught more about the fourth commandment than any other? And the main reason for that was because the Pharisees were so strict about the Sabbath, yet they had lost what it was all about. Strict about laws, about do's and don'ts, but they'd lost the joy of the day. And in Matthew 12, in opposition to the Pharisees, Jesus taught that on the Sabbath day it was lawful to do three types of work. Notice there in verse 5, he is teaching that there's work necessary for worship on the Sabbath day. He says the priests there, they work, and since they might say they desecrate the day, and yet they're innocent. And so there's a work needed in opening up the church building and Sunday school teachers' final preparations for their lessons and teaching, and I work on the Lord's day. There's work of worship that are necessary. And then there's other works of necessity. At the beginning of this chapter here, the Pharisees criticized the disciples for taking some pieces of corn, rubbing it, and eating it on the Sabbath day. It was against their rules. It wasn't against God's rules. And Jesus shows that it was acceptable for doing works of necessity. And therefore, it's acceptable to cook meals on the Lord's day. There are people who have to go into work, who are nurses, who are in the police. People have to work in feeding and milking animals. They're works of necessity on the Lord's day. And for ourselves, if we don't have to go to our employment because we don't have a work of necessity on the Lord's day, we need to ask ourselves, whatever we do on the Lord's day, whether we should do it or not, is, does it help me make the most of this day? Is it something necessary to promote this day in my life? For example, is it right to go for a walk on the Lord's day? Well, if you go for a walk that's so far that shatters you and can't spend the rest of the day, that's not right. But if a going for a walk refreshes you, it's good. Is it acceptable to sleep on a Sunday afternoon? Well, if you just flake out for the whole day, that's not keeping the Lord's day. But if a little nap on Sunday afternoon helps you to be fresh for the rest of the day, that's acceptable. Do you see the point? We're doing whatever is necessary so we get the most of the day. There are works of necessity. The whole idea behind this is not about rules. The whole idea is doing that which promotes the day and gets the most of the day. Thirdly, Jesus teaches here that there are works of mercy on the Lord's day. When you look at how Jesus occupied the Sabbath, you find that he did most of his recorded healings on the Lord's day. And here the Pharisees in Matthew 12, at the end of this story, they're saying, they bring this man in front of him with a shriveled hand. You shouldn't heal on the Lord's day. They're basically saying, Jesus heals. The Sabbath day is a day for works of mercy. Visiting people who can't get out. Visiting people who are sick. Visiting people in hospital. Involve your children in this, parents. Take your children along to somebody who can't go to church. What about taking your child along to read a part of the Bible to this person and you praying with them? And saying to them, listen, our minister's encouraging us to do this. There's works of mercy in the Lord's day. It's not a day for selfishness. In the Lord's day, Jesus gave himself to his Father in worship. He gave himself to others in works of mercy. It's a day for doing the Lord's will and the Lord's business. It's that the Sabbath day is a day of worship, but it's also a day of mercy. One final point. It is a day for faith. We've seen that it's a day of blessing, a day to prepare for, a day to promote, a day for lawful work. But finally, it is a day for faith. Keeping the Sabbath day as God desires, it shows that we trust in God. Eric Liddell, by not running on the Sabbath day at the Paris Olympics, was trusting not only that what he was doing was right. Listen to this. He was trusting that by not running on the Sabbath day, it was also the best thing for him. And when the Lord said, "Those who honor me, I will honor," he believed that. And God in his life proved it to be true. In commanding us to keep the Sabbath day, God is giving us the challenge and the opportunity to discover this truth, that those who honor him, he will honor. God, by this command, is calling us to trust him. Going back to that incident in Exodus 16 of the manna. When the people gathered the manna, they were told to gather enough for one day and no more. That's what they were told to do from the first to the fifth day. Now, some people didn't listen to what the Lord said, and they gathered more for the second day. But when they got up the second morning, the manna was stinking. It was rotting. It was filled with worms. And then the Lord said on the fifth day, gather double, twice as much. And the people had to believe and trust that this food, which didn't last to another day, would somehow last on the Sabbath day. And so they gathered twice as much on the sixth day. And they found on the Sabbath day it was fresh. It was edible. There's other people didn't gather the double, and they went out on the Sabbath day and there was no food for them. And you know, the Lord is teaching a very important lesson here. Not just to the Israelites, but to us. The Lord is saying, if you do as I tell you, if you work as required for 6 days, but keep the Sabbath day holy, I will provide for you and for your needs. And at times, though, you mightn't realize how, but I will do this. When it comes to Sabbath work, when it comes to playing sport on the Lord's day, there's some difficult decisions that Christians have to make at times. But it comes down to a question of faith. I was hearing the other day about a man who bought a filling station. And the company that owned, that distributed the petrol, said to him he had to open 7 days a week. And he said, "And give me 6 months. I'll open 6 days. At the end of the 6 months, see if there's a change in the profits." So for 6 months, he opened 6 days. And at the end of the 6 months, the profits were far greater than before on 7 days. He found in his life the reality of the truth. Those who honor me, I will honor. Friends, here's a challenge for us. Are we going to be people who take the Lord at his word? Do we believe that our greatest joy and delight in life will be found when we follow the Lord's ways and the Lord's plans? And we'll learn to delight in the Lord and know real victory in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word here today. And Father, there's tremendous implications here for us all. And Father, we have to, many of us pray for forgiveness for how we have failed to keep the Sabbath day. And many of us, Father, as parents, have to confess to our children that we have failed to direct them in keeping the Sabbath day as you desire, O God. But Father, give us the courage to go from here and the faith to go from here, believing that the Sabbath day is the most wonderful gift from you, and that the greatest privilege for man is to have time to know our God. So Father, even as we go home, give us grace around our dinner tables to have spiritual conversation. Give us grace, O God, to open up your word to our children. Maybe, Father, we have to start small, but Give us grace even today to start somewhere. And Father, give us grace to keep your day, but more important, to rejoice in your day. Not to keep it like the Pharisees in a matter of rules, but to keep it special because we're spending it with the Savior that we love. Father, give us grace to work hard for 6 days and then to keep the seventh day holy. For your glory and your honor, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.